power that she had as the queen, she put the pressure on all of Israel to adopt the religion of Baal. You know, this is where we had the story of Elijah, who had the test on Mount Carmel with the priest of Baal to see which one was going to have their altar to be consumed by fire, and he proved to have God on his side, and they proved not to have any strength. But this city of Tyre was so great that it had many colonies. As we mentioned earlier, Carthage there in North Africa, this was a colony of Tyre. Sidium was a colony on the island of Cyprus. And Tarshish was a colony way over in Spain, way further east there, west of Italy. And these colonies were established, and they carried commerce from one place to the other, and they had a gigantic empire built on commerce. So Tyre was distinguished for its commercial importance, that is, its ability to carry on shipping. They knew how to build ships, they knew how to navigate, and they knew how to trade and conduct commerce. It was distinguished for its luxury, because all of the luxuries of the Far East, of China, of all of these places that ever made any commerce at all, came to Tyre. And Tyre was the one that could pick and choose and enjoy and lavish in the luxuries of the world. It was also distinguished for its magnificence, such things as the great Temple of Hercules, and it was also distinguished for its sin. For any time you have all of these many interrelating areas of worldliness, in effect, you've got sin. But it was also a place of great strength. For the city that was built on the seashore there was surrounded by a great wall, and it was almost an impregnable wall. It was besieged several times, and even this wall withstood some of the sieges. But there was a little island that was out from the city of Tyre, about 3/4 of a mile, and some of that water went up to around 20 feet or so deep out to that island. And so the city of Tyre was actually built on this island also. A new Tyre was built out there. And so when the old city was destroyed, new Tyre was still practically indestructible. So it was a place of great strength. It was a place that many kingdoms would have liked to have had some power over, but they just were not able to conquer or subdue Tyre except on rare occasions. Some of the attacks that Tyre did have in 717 B.C., Shalmaneser, who was a king of Assyria at that time, besieged the city for 5 years. He used some 60 ships and hundreds of men, but he was defeated by the Tyrians, who had a fleet of only 12 ships, because he wasn't able to penetrate the city. In 573 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, at some nearly 200 years later, Nebuchadnezzar attacked the city, and he set about a siege of 13 years before he took the city. Now just think of it, 13 years is a long time to besiege a city. If we were going to besiege a place for 13 years, it would mean that we would start attacking it now, and we would stay there till 1790 before we finally, had ended our siege. The Bible describes this as some of the men had bald heads because they'd worn helmets so long, and their shoulders were worn down because of carrying weapons so long. But according to Mr. Barnes, the city was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. The desolation was in Tyre. The city was destroyed, and the inhabitants were driven into a foreign land, and the city lay desolate for some 70 years. Well, in 332 B.C., after the city had been rebuilt from the destruction by Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great set a siege upon it. And instead of just trying to siege the city for such a long time, he built a causeway from the land out to the island, a causeway some 200 feet wide, and constructed it right out to the island where he could take his weapons of war out there, and then he conquered the city. This was on that rock 3/4 of a mile from the coast. And that causeway has been there ever since, and it's filled in now with dirt around it until this is actually a peninsula now out to where Tyre was. But in present day, Tyre is no more. It's a place where fishermen hang their nets, and it's a place where utter desolation does now exist, as the Bible prophecies predicted would eventually happen. But of course, this didn't happen until just a short time before the present day. Now, the prophecy tonight in this 23rd chapter really has to do with the siege by Nebuchadnezzar. At this time, Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon, had captured God's people from Judah and taken them into captivity. And while Judah was in captivity, then he laid the great siege on Tyre and eventually did overcome Tyre and carried them away into captivity. So that's what this prophecy is about tonight in the 23rd chapter of Isaiah. So he begins by saying, "How, ye ships of Tarshish." Now, the Tarshish was this colony over in Spain. And it was set up by Tyre, and it was controlled by Tyre. But the ships that would come from Tarshish to do commerce with Tyre would howl now, because Tyre would be no more. "For it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in." That is, there's no use to travel over to Tyre now. There's no place to enter in. There's no channel to go to, no dock to tie to, no house to accommodate you when you get there. "From the land of Chittim it is revealed to them." Now, this place called Chittim here is the one we were talking about that was a colony on the island of Cyprus. And there was also some question as to whether or not this could have been in Macedonia too, but it's pretty good evidence it was on Cyprus. So as they were going from Tarshish over to Tyre, he said that from the land of Chittim it is revealed to them. That is, as they went by the Isle of Cyprus, Cyprus would tell them the news. Tyre is no more, or Tyre is being besieged, or there's no use to go to Tyre. They'd get the news before they got there. So now he directs this speech to Tyre. "Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle." The word "still" here means to be silent. All of the commotion, all of the industry, and all of the commerce that was active in the city of Tyre would now come to a grinding halt. "Be still, be silent, ye inhabitants of the isle." And of course, the isle is this city built upon the rock, 3/4 of a mile off the shore. "Thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished." Now the word "Zidon" here is talking about Sidon. And Sidon, of course, was the older of the two cities, and Sidon is the one that did colonize Tyre. And so it was replenished by Sidon. They got their initial start from Sidon. And so he says, "Thou whom the merchants of Sidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And by great waters the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations." Now the great waters of the seed of Sihor, this is the Nile River. The word Sihor here is in the Jewish means a dark color or a black color, and that was the name given to the Nile River. The harvest of the river is her revenue. That is, as this river in Egypt would overflow and cause fertile crops to be produced and goods to be produced in Egypt, they then would find their way to Tyre, because Tyre was the commercial center of the world. And we have evidence of where it does refer to them trading the goods of Egypt. And then he says, "And she is a mart of nations." Now we have in this country, you know, places known as the great trade marts. But Tyre was the mart of nations. It was the trading center of the world. And we can read in Ezekiel 27, I might just turn there for just a moment. Ezekiel has several chapters about Tyre, but in Ezekiel 27 he gives some of the places that they traded with. "Fine linen with broidered work," Ezekiel 27, verse 7, "from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elishash was that which covered thee. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee were thy pilots. The ancients of Gebel and the wise men thereof were in thee thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea with their mourners were in thee to occupy their merchandise. They of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thine army, thy men of war. They hanged the shield and helmet in thee. They set forth thy comeliness. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon the walls round about, and the Gammadims were in the towers. They hang their shields upon thy walls round about and made thy beauty perfect. Tarshish was thy merchant, and on and on. He names country after country after country here that had relationship with the city of Tyre. It certainly was a city of the world, and so he calls them in this third verse, she is a mart of nations. Verse 4, be thou ashamed, O Zidon, that is Sidon, for the sea has spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. Now this is a speech about Tyre, and Sidon, of course, who was the mother city who had founded Tyre. Sidon was to be ashamed of the outcome of Tyre. For there was a time came in which Tyre would say, the strength of the sea would say, that was Tyre, I travail not, nor bring forth children. That is, I'm not reproducing anymore. I'm not in having labor pains anymore. I'm not bringing forth any more children. Neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Now you remember just a short while back we had a prophecy about Egypt, how Egypt was going to be destroyed and all of the things that God had planned for Egypt to try to turn them into God-fearing people. Well, as these things happened to Egypt, it caused grief on the other nations around as they heard them happen to Egypt. And so he says, as the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. They're going to be equally unhappy to hear what happens to Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, howl ye inhabitants of the isle. Now, Tarshish, of course, was that place in Spain, and so what he's saying here is they're going to probably flee to Tarshish, try to escape to Tarshish for safety, and they'll be passing over to Tarshish, howl ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Now this, of course, Tyre was a mighty city. It was one of the oldest of the old cities. Very few cities could date back beyond the time of Tyre. And as we said, the temple of Hercules was some 2,300 years old at this time. It certainly was an ancient city. And so he asked the question, is this your joyous city whose antiquity is of ancient days? Now remember, this prophecy was given some 120 years before it happened. At the time it was given, Babylon was nothing. Babylon was a no people. And Tyre was an old city. Tyre was a city that was an ancient city of antiquity and had some of the wonders of the world there. All the commerce and luxury and splendor of the world. And yet a people that didn't even exist at the time this prophecy was given would be the ones that would rise up and bring it to its knees. Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Now some people think this means that some of the people would escape from the city of Tyre and have to flee on foot to survive. Others interpret this to mean that her boats, her ships are her feet, and they would escape from the city in the ships that belong to this city. Who has taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city? I ask a question here. Who's responsible for this? Who's brought this judgment, this counsel, this decision to do away with Tyre? Who brought this about? Tyre, the crowning city, that is the city who is able to place crowns on other cities, the city who can establish colonies and give them the authority to rule and to exist and to be. Whose merchants are princes? Why, this city has for customers princes. We deal with princes. We deal with nations. We deal with the heads of state. That's who comes to our door to buy from us. Whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth. And the word traffickers here means those that would travel and conduct commerce. They deal with the highest people on the earth. They don't have to go and look up beggarly people to trade with. The Lord of hosts has purposed it. Now, who's responsible? Who gave this counsel against Tyre? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it. So we see then that this is all an act of God. God is the one who was working in Nebuchadnezzar to move and to cause and to bring about this destruction of the city of Tyre. And of course, we've seen this in Isaiah happen over and over and over again. We saw it happen to Israel and to Syria and to Assyria. And we saw it happen to Ashdod and to Egypt and to Ethiopia. And we're going to see it happen to Judah. And here it's happening to Tyre. Over and over, God decides that this is the way it's going to be, and He moves in a power, a nation, to go in and do His work. So, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it. And why did He do it? To stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Now this phrase, to stain the pride of all glory, really means to pollute the pride of all glory, or it also means to bore through the pride of all glory. So that here was a city who was riding on the very pinnacle of success. It had glory, and as a result of this glory, it had pride. And so the Lord was going to place a stain upon, He's going to place a pollution upon the pride that they had in this city. And you know, today we think that the nation that we live in is, we like to call it the strongest country in the world and all this, that, and the other, and our politicians get very upset if anybody implies that maybe Russia or China might have the striking capability to bring us to our knees. But even when things seem to be the greatest for us, even when it seems that we may have more power than anybody has ever had and could never be shaken, doom and destruction could be a very short time away. Could be a very short time away. And then his second phrase in this ninth verse, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Those who were so high and mighty, those who were counted as the honorable of the earth, who had the prestige and the respect of all the nations of the earth, he said that he was going to bring them into contempt. And what this really means is that their plans, their ideals, their values, their accomplishments are as nothing compared to God. You know, if we today were living in Tyre during this time, I wonder how many of us might be overwrought, overcome by the order of the day. This heady, high-minded, proud, anything goes attitude of, you know, let's do anything for a buck. We make a profit. We're commercial people. We're prosperous. We can have anything we want. You know, that spirit kind of is among us today in this country. And would we be overcome by this spirit if we were in Tyre today? That is, if Tyre existed, or say we were put back to that time. Would we forget about our Maker, our God? Would we say that in the interest of society, in the interest of majority rule, in the interest of whatever the majority think is all right, that's what we're going to do and accept, would we be like them? They had as their predominant God, Baal. Now, Baal was nothing. Baal was an idol. Baal was a god that made out of stick and stones, so to speak. But he had hundreds of followers. Even over in Israel, during the time of Ahaz, Baal had about 400 prophets trying to promote his religion. And Baal was nothing. You think, well, now anybody that's smart enough to be the commercial center of the world, anybody that's smart enough to know how to conduct all of this enterprise and deal with everything, surely they're not going to be duped by false religion. Surely they're not going to have something that's not even a God at all. A false teaching overwhelmed them into subduing to it, into believing and following it. But that's exactly what happened. Baal was the religion of Tyre. And it almost overtook Israel too. Baal did. And Baal was nothing. In imagination, in people's minds. And so as we apply that same type of reasoning to our present day situation today, we say, well, you know, the religious world just can't be wrong. All these people go to these seminaries and they study and they come out with these big degrees of doctor of divinity and so on and so on. They just got to be right. And so I'll let them do my thinking for me, and I'll let them plan my salvation for me, because they can't be wrong. They're so much smarter than I am. But you know, they don't even agree among themselves. They can't even decide whether or not a person needs to be baptized or not to be saved. They can't even agree among themselves. And so we find that many times God's way, God's plan, is going just exactly the opposite that of the majority and the high and mighty and those in the power and authority with all the political pull. They're not even working according to what God wants. And so God calls this destruction of Tyre, he says, so that he could bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Now today we're not looking for destructions in particular like the destruction of Tyre, but we are looking for a time today in which the world is going to come to an end. And whenever the world comes to an end, that is God's destruction on all evil for all time. And that's the time that we don't want to be made to look like a bunch of pikers in the sight of God. That's the time when we don't want to be somebody that God decides to bring into contempt. Somebody that God has decided to stain the pride of our glory. That's the time when we want to be on the right side. And the whole lesson is, the right side is not going to be the majority or the popular or the powerful or the glorious side. That's not the right side. It never has been. It never will be. For Jesus said very plainly, broad is the gate that entereth into destruction, and many of the be which go in thereat. For narrow is the gate, and straight is the way, S-T-R-A-I-T, straight is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's what Jesus said, just a few would find the way to life. It's not going to be the popular, well-known, well-touted way. And so the way of the world is going to be the thing that God is opposed to. And he further describes in verse 10, pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He says, it's just going to come through this land like a river comes. You know how a river comes. Even the last day or two, we've been hearing about floods in different places, up in Dallas, Fort Worth. And the people are having to move out because they know when that water gets up high enough, there'll be no stopping it. There'll be no living with it. They've got to get out of there. And that's the way the Lord is going to pass through this land of Tyre, like a river, just to wash it away, so to speak, and lay it into a position where it had no strength. This word for strength here, there's no more strength, means girdle. And it means there'd be nothing to bind it together. The girdle was the most important item of clothing. The most prominent item of clothing. Just what bound the other garments on and bound them in such a way that then the person could work or move about. The girdle here may not mean clothing. It could mean the fortifications of the city or whatever held the city together. There'd be no more of it. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And this phrase, the merchant city, is also translated that he's given a commandment concerning a merchant man to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Sidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There shall also thou have no rest. So he's predicting that they're going to leave out and they're going to go to the colonies, but even there they'll have no rest. Nebuchadnezzar's army will find them even there and still bring about their destruction. Verse 13. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. Now this is an important verse here. For the land of the Chaldeans is the Babylonians. These are the people who brought about the destruction of Tyre. But at the time this prophecy was given, Chaldea was nothing. They were some raw, rough, unlearned, unschooled, and people with no power, a nation of no consequence. So he in this prophecy asked them to take a look at the people of the Chaldeans. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrians founded it for them. Now, the Chaldeans didn't even exist until the Assyrians founded it for them. And the people, of course, history dates way back to Nimrod as being one of the founders, but they weren't really any power until a woman came along named Semiramis, and she then built this Euphrates River up so that it was confined into its channels and it didn't flood out anymore. And then this land began to dry up and it became inhabitable. And that's really where it can kind of begin to date its origin back. So till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. Now, these people they were wild people. They were nomads. They lived in tents. They had no place to call their country or to call home. But whenever they made it inhabitable, then it was founded as a nation. And those that dwelt in the wilderness then began to come there and to live and to set up a kingdom. They set up the towers thereof. They raised up the palaces thereof. That is the Assyrians. They helped to build this great city of Babylon, which was famous for its towers. And you know, we had in a prophecy here a week or two ago in which Isaiah said, put the watchman in the watchtower. See what he can see. They had watchtowers in Babylon. Well, the Assyrians built this for them. They set up the tower and they raised up the palaces thereof. Then he concludes by saying, and he brought it to ruin. That is, Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean, brought Tyre to ruin. So he's giving a little nutshell here, history of the Chaldeans, or that is of the Babylonians, even before they existed, telling them that this country, this people that were no people, would come over and bring this mighty city of Tyre to ruin. So really, as we look around about us today and see that, or may say that no other nation is as powerful as we are, that's probably not even a true statement, but the very least significant of all nations, if the Lord so desired, could be used as his instrument to bring us to nothing. While they might be a wild, unlearned, unschooled people living out in the wilderness, not even having a place to call home, and the Lord could cause them to be wielded into such a force and a power that we could not withstand them. So we're going to close at that 13th verse. I'd hope to finish this chapter, but it'll take more time than we have tonight to finish it. The concluding verses are just as interesting as the others. But we see the picture now, the city of Tyre that is to be destroyed by the Babylonians, and it's predicted some 120 years before it happens. Anybody have any questions or comments on the lesson given tonight? Well, if there's nothing further, we'd like to ask Brother Kenneth Doyle, if he would, to lead us in a word of prayer.
Faithful to thee in all things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.